Our next guest on Downtown has been in numerous films and television shows. You know him for his work in The Devil Wears Prada, Mad Men, Glow, and he stars in the new HBO series White House Plumbers. We're happy to welcome back to the program Rich Sommer. Rich, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How have you been?
Very well. I mean, you know, our industry is a little bit topsy-turvy these days, but other than that, I've been personally okay.
Yeah, so we got through COVID, and now we're going to throw a strike at you.
That's right. Well, it's time, frankly. I think the reasons are right, and I'm out there every day picketing with the writers, even though I'm not in the Writers Guild. So it's a cause I fully support.
Well, do the producers, do the makers of television shows feel that way?
Well, I think the show, most of the showrunners, most of the people who create the shows are members of the Writers Guild, so they certainly feel that way. As far as the producers, the people above them, not necessarily. I don't think they feel the cause is entirely just, or even though they probably do somewhere in there, but they also know that there's always a way to get a little more money out of it, so that's where we're at.
Well, let's talk about this new project. White House Plumbers is great. I enjoy the show so much. How did you get involved with it?
It was the last audition I did in person before COVID happened. I auditioned in March of 2020. And, of course, the world shifted a little bit. Mm. I didn't hear anything from them and promptly forgot about the project. And then almost 1 year exactly later, I got a call saying, hey, you booked White House Plumbers. And I said, which one was that? It was a great surprise. So it was my first time back on a plane in COVID, went out there and we shot it. Now it's been 2 years since we filmed it. So we're very excited to have it out there.
Wow. What's it like working with David Mandel?
I'm a big fan of David's. Of course, I am a Seinfeld fan, first and foremost. And he wrote several key episodes, including the Bizarro Jerry episode. I mean, he's just, he's had his hand in many of the funniest things on television, so it was an honor to get to work with him.
And, man, what a great ensemble. Woody Harrelson, he doesn't do anything halfway, does he?
No, he likes to jump in all the way. Same with Justin Theroux. I mean, Justin, that look that he has on White House Plumbers is all him. So one of our first conversations over dinner when I was in New York filming, he was him with a heavy sigh and that giant mustache saying, I have to have this thing for the next 5 months. It was I think he was realizing what he had gotten himself into.
And your former Mad Men castmate, Kiernan Shipka, all growed up.
Yeah, first time I'd gotten to see Kiernan since we wrapped. We had a dinner together as well out in near Poughkeepsie where we filmed the bulk of the show. And she ordered a glass of wine, and I really had to sort of remind myself how much time had passed since season one when she was 7 years old. It's still remarkable to see it.
Now, you play Nixon aide Eagle Crow in White House Plumbers, and I think the show is based on a book that Eagle wrote along with his son. What are the challenges of playing a real person?
It's always a little intimidating. You don't want to disappoint the people who are around who remember that person. And then sometimes, you know, when people are really big public figures, of course, the public has a memory of them as well. Luckily, Mr. Krog his personality isn't widely known these days, so I didn't feel too beholden to trying to do an imitation or anything. But yes, his book, initially titled Integrity, now retitled White House Plumbers, and out there for people to find, was sort of the jumping-off point for the show, but they also accessed lots and lots of historical documents, obviously, and other tellings of the story.
Well, as somebody old enough to remember all this when it was happening in real time, the show is great, and I just when I watch it, I think of the line from All the President's Men when Hal Holbrook, his deep throat, says, "You know, these guys just weren't very smart, and it got out of hand."
Yeah, I think that's obviously with someone like David Mandel at the helm of a show like this, and with Woody and Justin in the lead, there's lots of room to sort of capitalize on the buffoonery that certainly ran through that pair.
We're talking with Rich Sommer here on Downtown. Enjoyed your work as well on a series with a friend of our show, Stephen Tobolowsky, What was it like making Minx?
I'm a big fan of everyone over at Minx. It's that show has gone through its trials as well. You know, we were filming. I'm barely in the first season, but I'm heavily featured in the second season, and we were within a week of wrapping on season two, and HBO Max canceled the show. The good news is they handed the show over to Lionsgate, their producing partner, who then pretty quickly was able to sell it to Stars. And so season two for Minx will be out July 21st. Very excited. It's a really fun season. And the cast, I mean, if you've seen the show, it's a really edgy and fun show to be a part of.
Now, since we talked with you last time, among other things, you had quite the adventure, we'll call it, going to Serbia. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. A friend of mine who's a director and producer, Trevor White, had called to ask if I would be interested in going to Serbia for a few weeks to do a movie called Fair Play. And I got on the plane to my layover in Istanbul, Turkey, and midway through the flight, they said there was some weather on the ground in Istanbul. It ended up being sort of a snowfall of the century, part of this new airport in Istanbul. The roof caved in. It was wild. We were rerouted to a very small town called Antalya, Turkey, where I was sort of stranded for the next 36 hours. I was supposed to be on set the next day. And instead, we were trying to figure out if we routed me through Saudi Arabia and then Berlin, can we get me to Belgrade? Finally, they ended up, for a very small independent film, breaking the bank a little bit and getting me a private plane just to get me to Belgrade so that I could get on the ground. But the movie turned out fantastically. It was at Sundance this year, was one of the sort of big buzzes at Sundance, and was purchased by Netflix, and it'll be out later this year.
Oh, good. I was going to ask about that. Yeah, Fair Play is the name of the movie, and it got great reviews at Sundance. Do you have a possible premiere date for it on Netflix?
I haven't heard. I think it will be within this calendar year, but just later in the year. My guess is they're going to try and angle it for awards season.
That's fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to it. From what I've read, it looks great. You also did, among other things, you were in King Richard. You didn't get slapped, did you?
I didn't get slapped. Oh, boy, Rich, you're going to get me in trouble.
I'm sorry.
No, I did not get slapped. I was very, I had a great few days on set with Will Smith and John Bernthal. They were absolute professionals on set, and it was a thrill to get to work with them. And in that movie, that movie came out so well. I was very proud to be a small part of it.
You continue to do a whole lot of voiceover work as well. Is it fun? Obviously, it's still work, but we've talked to a number of voiceover people. Say there are some advantages to doing that.
Absolutely. You don't have to shave. You don't have to wear any particular clothing. Much of it, especially since the beginning of COVID, I do from the closet in my office. It's a very low investment, sort of high return kind of part of the career. That said, it's really hard to book work in voiceover. It's not just, at least for me, it's not a switch I could just flip. I set out right at the end of Mad Men to kind of make that a viable part of my career, and while I have been really fortunate and gotten to do a handful of jobs, I'd always love to do more.
And what have you got for some upcoming projects? Anything you can talk about?
Right now in theaters, another movie that I got to do is called BlackBerry, about the history of the BlackBerry device, the smartphone that came before the iPhone. And it is doing really, really well for what, again, a really tiny independent film. It just seemed to kind of hit the ground running at the Berlin Film Festival and at South by Southwest earlier this year, and has had a really nice theatrical run, and it's kind of playing all over the country. So if people want to take the chance to see something, it's a very funny telling, again, of the history of BlackBerry. Jay Baruchel and Glenn Howerton star in it, and it's a really fun film. I took my wife and kids to see it. It's rated R, but it's just swears. So we took the kids. It's the kids' first time seeing me in a movie in the theater, and that was really fun.
What a way. A great cast. Saul Rubinek, Cary Elwes, Michael Ironside, and the fact that I still miss my BlackBerry terribly.
Exactly. It's that click. We're not going to find it again, Rich. It's a very elusive feeling.
So I have to tell the story here. The last time you were on, we talked about games that we loved, and I mentioned the Mr. President game, and you said, well, I got an extra one of those. I'll send one your way. And I thought, well, that's nice. Never thought, you know, I thought it was just radio niceties. And then days later, I get a package in the mail, and there it was. And you made my year with that. That was such a kind thing to do, and it was so great to revisit that wonderful game from my youth.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and I try not to do radio niceties. I try to keep it keep it real, especially with someone. We share the same name, Rich. I can't let you down.
It's true.
So I was thrilled to be able to send that your way. Yeah, it's a great game, and I think, like we said last time, it was one of those games. It's from 1965. I think it was ahead of its time. I still think it's a really playable game that has interesting mechanisms that a lot of sort of standard board game fare doesn't have.
But I understand that, based on my love of board games and political machinations, that I probably need to find a copy somewhere of Die Macher and get into German political ramifications. I understand that's your favorite.
It is absolutely the game that I always name as my favorite. It's from 1986 in Germany. You can track it down. It's been printed several times and a handful of times in English. It's a really long game. Prepare to sit at the table for a minute with some complexities, but once you get going, it all makes intuitive sense. It's not a hard game to learn. It just takes some time. But yeah, you'll pick up some tips on how the Germans do it politically. I don't know. Maybe we could use some changes. We'll see what they have to say about it.
I mean, it couldn't be worse, I would say, at this point. I have to ask you about this, too. You were one of the many people out there who had some issues and continue to have issues with the Musk takeover of Twitter, and you have left, as well most of the free world has. What was he thinking? How would you take something that it wasn't perfect, it could be a cesspool at times, but had some benefits, and absolutely destroy it?
Well, look, first of all, just to be clear, I was exited from Twitter. I didn't leave of my own volition. I woke up one day and found out I was no longer welcome. But he is, I don't know, he's pretty sure he's right about everything, like many, many people in the world. And when someone like that happens to get their hands on the controls and has a giant bankroll to back it up, there's not much you can do to stop him. While, like you said, Twitter could be a cesspool at times, I sure did have fun there once in a while, especially in the early days, and I still sort of mourn it. I've tried to transition over to Instagram. It's not quite the same for me. It doesn't do what I enjoyed about Twitter, but no, the Twitter that I did enjoy is certainly dead and not coming back.
Now, what was the final straw when you changed your handle to Elon Musk?
That was probably it, yeah, when I started posting as Elon Musk had said some things that maybe he wouldn't himself have said. I think that was roughly 30 hours before I was removed from the platform.
Well, I thought it was great. I loved it. But those of us who are hanging around when the tumbleweeds blow through, we miss good people like you out there. But maybe we'll all find another place, another virtual home someday somewhere.
Well, if you find one, Rich, please let me know. If you're there, I will follow you, and we'll see what we can make happen.
That sounds great. Rich, thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to seeing more episodes of White House Plumbers, and we'll keep our eyes peeled for Fair Play on Netflix later in the year. Thanks for checking in with us again, and hopefully we'll do it down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
That's Rich Sommer with us on Downtown.